I'll be a living sanctuary.
Bless you.
For you.
Sing it unto him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving,
right?
I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Is that your desire? To just be a sanctuary for the Lord? If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 1, where we've been reading at. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. There's a lot missing this morning, and the Lord willing now, make sure that you that are your children and all coming and whatever, they're going to try their best to be here sometime in the afternoon service, maybe on up in the service time because of the eating, etc., and trying to get back, but they're going to try to make it. They're going to be here at the evening service, you know, so just remember that, you know. And it's good to see Robbie and Ruth and the family back there with us. Glad to have them. And good to see Ben and Sharon. No, and so I called yesterday, and they said Brother Longoria, just keep praying for him. But said he's doing fine. Said he would come through the operation. He's back home and doing great. But gonna be a while that he can't talk and preach or anything for a while, and can't even travel for a certain amount of time. I think they had to do some repair work on two vertebrae or something. And anyhow. He's doing fine, so just keep him in your prayers, remember that. Remember also now the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday at Brother Tom Corshane's, so remember that. Anybody wants to go, make sure you let us know. We'll probably be leaving somewhere around 10 o'clock from over at Wade's. And also if you want to go, make sure you let us know. Good to see Brother Tom there. He called this morning and said he was having problems with his stomach, and we just prayed on the phone, and everything's fine because he's sitting here, any other thing, Boyd, I know he gets nervous when you get up here, but Boyd forgot his prayer request and everything this morning, so, that's the way you do when you get nervous and get started and all. But anybody got any special requests to be remembered? In the hospital, so remember that. Anybody else?
Sister. Sister. Connie and Ben was at this point 9 years old, a couple weeks ago, about a month ago. We found out she had colon cancer. Mm. And there's 10 operatives, and they're giving her the pills. I think it's like blood pressure. Yeah. 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 Anyway, they're giving her those pills, and so far she's doing good, not having any symptoms or anything. I think that's cool.
Amen. 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 Sister Drew.
Carol,
just sure will. Mainly for salvation, but also for healing. Amen. Anyone else? Sister Johnny. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Joel. Remember Danny? Mark. Remember that. Anybody else? Yeah. Right. Remember Brother Dean? He's at traveling. He's up in North Carolina preaching. Brother Harris is up at Brother Richard's preaching this weekend. Dick and Gail and them's down in Florida on vacation. So some of the others on vacation things, and also remember each one as they're coming back home. Aaron, I think it was a death in the family or something, they're away this weekend. So remember them. Anybody else? Sister Milka. Sister Barbara. Anybody else? I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's just go before the Lord. Remember, the Lord willing, wait to be preaching Wednesday, and remember all of these announcements. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your understanding. Thank you for you. We know that many requests were given in this morning of things that are very, very needful. And Father, we plead the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would come on the scene and, Father, be unto them as the people have asked. We couldn't even hear or couldn't understand maybe some of the things that was said, but yet we know for a certainty that thou art God and you know. So we pray that you would just touch each one. Now have your way. Bless those that are away preaching and ministering, doing things. And Father, the group traveling back home this afternoon, just bless each one. Remember the sick ones. Remember the ones in the hospitals. And just touch each one. Let your grace be with each and every one of us. Forgive our sins and guide us. Thank you for being with Brother Tom and bringing them on to be with us today, Lord. And we ask you to just guide each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 1, 1 through 5. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You may be seated. We'll maybe get that far. We've been on, started a series on the book of Revelations, and this is the third message that we've been on, and we've been trying to cover some things, and, you know, just to help us to understand. Because I believe that's what we need, is understand. We need revelation more than anything. Right? We need that. Right? Amen. So just take these quotes, read what the prophet has to say, and you'll get the message anyway. But now, what was we talking about the other day? What is the book of Revelations? It's, as I was trying to cover, that a lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelations because they think it's some kind of a book. We were taught not to read it, you know. We didn't understand Genesis. We didn't understand the book of Revelations. We were to stay away from those things. But then coming to find out that it is the very message that we need, as we'll read in a minute from the prophet, a very vital message, you know, to the church. Because I told you what I believe. I believe the book of Revelation shows the past, present, and the future. You know, it shows the church, who she is, and what she's doing. It shows the hour that we're living upon the earth, as we were talking about in verse 3, where it says, for the time is at hand. What is that? The time to understand. I mean, the time to understand the Word of God. All right. The time is now at hand for us to get the revelation. All right. But what is that revelation? See, the book of Revelation, as I said, would be showing then to John, you know, the future, and he writes it to the church. See? There's seven churches there that was in Asia that were sent letters, but then that would only be the natural part to speak of the fact that it would come forth down through seven church ages, and that each age would get a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. But the main point that I've been wanting you to see is that revelation is about you, the bride. That's what the book of Revelation, that's why the devil don't want you to read it. He don't want you to study it. He don't want you to get involved in it, because you might find out who you are. You know, you might find out what's going on. And see, that's what he's afraid of. He's afraid for the church to ever get to a position that they can see who they are. Because the prophet said when the bride realizes who she is, said she'll be gone. Well, see, that's the thing Satan has fought us to keep us from understanding the book of Revelation. Because, well, we got these symbols here of this and these symbols of that. But when the prophet came and showed us what the symbols were, well, then now we shouldn't have any problem. Why? Because we can understand. See, we understood certain things. We could read certain parts and understand it, you know. And some of it is self-explanatory. I mean, it's just plain language and self-explanatory. But it was written to you and I. John is on Patmos to get the revelation of the future, but he's getting the revelation of Christ in the church to be revealed down through time. That was the thing that no one knew about, is the fact that Christ is now in the church, manifesting himself, showing himself, and has been doing that down through the church ages, and showing who we are. See? It's the future that he's showing. That's why when we got into what we're talking about, that even Jesus didn't understand his part in the kingdom because the Father had not shown him. See, that's maybe hard to comprehend sometimes when we talk about one true and living God. But remember when he was here in flesh, he had a problem. I gave you some quotes there that Jesus didn't know about the man at the pool of Bethesda when he was crying out. He didn't know about that. God didn't send him there with an understanding maybe that he would raise that man up. When the blinded eyes was opened sometimes, he'd say, as your faith is, be it unto you. And the people would be healed. Huh? But it was because that he was in a human element. He only done what the Father showed him. So when he'd go to somewhere to deliver somebody, the Father showed him on it. But yet sometimes the Father didn't show him everything. He didn't know when he was coming. Because that was withholding from him. He said, I don't know. But yet, by the time he comes to Patmos, now we'll read these in a second. When it does, when he gets to there, by now he knows about these things. And he comes to write about it. Now watch when we get to it in a minute about the coming of the Lord. See, he didn't know when he was coming. All right? But now, at this time when he writes it to John, he knows about his coming. And he writes about his coming, and it's in the bride. Because he's not coming in this day in a human body. See? We meet him in the air. But now when it comes to the white throne and the things like that and all of the things in the tribulation, then sure, we'll read in a minute. Every eye will see him. All right. I'm just trying to get it into line where you'll think about it as we follow it. That the book of Revelation then is written to you about you. It's your book. It's the only book in the Bible personally written, the prophet said, by Jesus Christ appearing to a scribe to write it. But he's not writing. My point I want you to see, you can't see the church without seeing Christ first. We know that. All right. But yet if we stay with the fact of just dealing with Jesus Christ and not see who we are and our place and position, then we're no different than any other denomination, and we will denominate and die because we go back to the oneness thought. All right, now watch it in a minute when I make this statement. See, to prove your revelation is right. God proves. And the Bible says for us to do. It says prove all things. Prove it. Hold to it then. Right. Prove it how? Prove it by the Bible. Prove it by the truth. Prove it by what's going on. All right. So now let's get down into the point. See, we've been talking about the book of Revelations as the future of the church. All right. So let's just read what the prophet had to say now. Some of these we've already read, but we'll reread again. The future of the church, watch him. Now this is Revelation chapter 1, 1960, 1204, the morning service. All right, number one on your notes. Drop down to this middle paragraph. But the reason for this special time was that we would, upon my heart, the Holy Spirit had laid this warning of conviction that the church in this day should have this message. Because I believe that it is the most outstanding messages of the Bible. Because it reveals Christ in His church at this time. See why it's the most important. It reveals Christ in His church at this time. Now what? And Brother Harris was preaching Wednesday night on a great message. And see, this is the time, you know, for us to understand. For us to walk in the light of what we see. And that was a prophecy back there. When John was come to write this, this has been a prophecy. The book of Revelation, that's why it couldn't be understood. It's been a prophecy all the way down. But now it's a reality. He said, well, I don't see it manifest. If you don't see it manifest, go out in the yard and look around. I mean, for heaven's sake, the weather conditions, this is the worst drought that we've had on record. All right? And it's not just us. It's the whole Southeast, the Virginias, the Carolinas, the Tennessee, everything. If you can't just walk out and look and see the times of the signs of the times, you're blind anyway. You don't want to look, but look at it now. Watch what he goes on to say now. See, because it reveals Christ in His church at this time. And then no one can have faith or know what they're doing or where they're going unless they have something to base their thoughts and faith upon. Therefore, if the Scripture has revealed Christ to us in these last days and the condition of times, it would do us good to search it and find out where we're at. But see, this is the third message now. I'm not trying to back up too much, but yet to make sure not to lose everybody. See, the book of Revelation, I said, is written about the church. It's showing the church down through the ages. It shows her all the way through the ages, shows her going in the rapture, shows her then as it winds up in the millennium, and shows her then in the future home. And it's all describing the bride. All right? See, then we're looking at ourselves. This is the time to understand the book of Revelation is written about you. Down through time, they could read it. Maybe they didn't understand it. But still, they could read it. The church at Ephesus could read what Paul had said. Smyrna, Pergamos, on down. And surely we can read here in the Lady of Sin and see what the last age is. And see the bride and see what's going on. See, all right, he was shown the future. All right. Now, the prophet said the most outstanding messages. Now, think about this for a moment. Because we read there in verse 5 that it would loose us from our sin by His blood. All right. Now, most of the time we apply that to just getting born again. And that's good. That's wonderful because that's what it's doing. But I want you to think about it like the prophet was saying, to where that you'll see the day you're living and what you've been loosed from. What about being loose from denominations? But Brother Dale, we've been out. I was born in the message and all. I never was in a denomination. You don't have to be in one. You're born one. Because you're born in sin, shaping in iniquity, espousing your mother's womb a liar, you go forth in unbelief. What is sin? We say, oh, sin, that's drinking, getting out. No, sin is unbelief. Huh? Now get the point, and I'll try to drive it home in a minute on something, but listen. Look what he says on number two of your notes, which is Revelation chapter 1, 1960, 1204, paragraph 244. Well, get cut loose. Has washed us and loosed us from our denominations in his own blood. And has made us free so we can think for ourselves and do for ourselves and talk for ourselves and act for ourselves. Then he talks about water baptism and the thing. Look at the last paragraph. So you're not bound anymore. You're free. But maybe you don't know it. But let me tell you this morning, the Bible said he loosed us from our sins, our unbelief, that we might receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen to your prophet. Go away free. Have to take what any church says about it. No, we don't have to do that, do we? Take what God said about it. Here's his revelation revealing who he is. And what is sin? Well, he loosed us from our sins. He loosed me from drinking. He loosed me from running around with women. He loosed me from this, that, that. That's fine. But what caused you to be that? Well, it was in the garden. Well, what happened in the garden? The first denomination that there ever was came about in the garden. Prophet said there's no new spirits around here. He said all these denominations and things. He said they was back there in Genesis, you know, coming down here now to be made manifest. So the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals, the Branhamites. Uh-oh. You can be a denomination and call yourself a Branhamite or whatever you want to be. I say the biggest denominational system there is the so-called followers of this message. Now, you can like that or not. Because you got to be closer to the truth. And who's the closest to the truth? But thank God for the truth. But now look what he said. He said he'd loose you from your sin. See, we think, oh yeah, he saved us. He loosed us from our sins where we could go to heaven. Well, that's good. That's fine. But you're not looking at what sin is. Sin is unbelief. We done those things because we were unbelievers. Sin is unbelief. Where did unbelief come from? Out of the garden. Is that right now? Out of the garden. Sin come out of the garden. Unbelief come out of the garden when Eve disbelieved the word. What did she do? Set up the first denomination there was. Because what does the word denomination mean? Divide and conquer. All right, are you following me what I'm talking about? See, then we must be loose from our sins that we might see the revelation. That's what's keeping us from seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is our own thoughts upon God's word. The prophet said, any thought we have contrary to God's word. Where did that come from? What is Satan's tactic? Divide and conquer, right? To discredit, we read it there last week, to discredit God's word. All right, then what are we doing? See? And you know I'm not preaching about that church sitting across the road over there that we call a non-denomination. That's their business. I'm not talking about the Baptists and the Methodists and the thing. That's their business. They're good people out there. I'm talking about you and me. What's wrong with us today? The reason we can't see the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? Why can't we see one true and living God? Because we try to put our own understanding upon the Word. And in doing that, then we come up with a denominational idea. Oh, it's the truth, brother. Well, will God vindicate it? Now, we've got to continue on to see something now. All right. So then, He loosed us from our sins, our unbelief, that we might see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we don't see the revelation of Jesus Christ, we can't see the revelation of Jesus Christ in His church. Because that's the first thing, Brother Branham, I've got it in this or this evening one, where Brother Branham said, Jesus said, now John, I've got you here for this. But said, first you got to realize who I am before we can continue on. You got to realize who I am or know who I am. See, if we don't understand one true and living God, we're still hooked in our unbelief. And we can say from our lips, I believe in one God. I said that when I was in the Baptist and argued with my brother about he was a Trinitarian. And I tried to believe one God. I couldn't explain it no different than what I'd been taught, but I still claimed one true and living God, because that's Baptist doctrine. That was the Baptist basis is one God. But it's God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. But you see why it's so vital to understand one true and living God. Because that is the only thing that will loose you and me from our unbelief. Well, I believe the message, Brother Dale. I've been in the message a long time. Has it been revealed to you? If it's not revealed to you, you still have your own thoughts. Come on. But see, looking at it the way the prophet said about it, that we've got to be loosed from our sins to be able to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we can't see the revelation of Jesus Christ, we can't see who we are. Because the Bible said, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. See? Whatever we are, He's made us that way. But now what? Loose us from our sins that we might be able to see. Now, let's just read that verse. I think it's verse 5. Well, let's go on down. Let's read verse 5 through about 7. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now, in the Bible, you can translate the word "and" for "even." Right? Even and "and" would be the same word. So let's read it this way. Even from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, even the first begotten of the dead, even the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, even washed us from our sins in His own blood. That help you to understand? What's now? And hath made us kings, even priests, unto God, even His Father, to Him be glory, even dominion forever, even ever. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Now, what does that scripture mean? Now, what does that scripture mean? How can He come in clouds of glory? But yet that scripture has to go all the way to the white throne and the things. Because only at the white throne will ever I see Him. Now, he's coming in clouds of glory. So watch him now. Look back at number 3 on your notes. Let's just read what the prophet had to say. Then we'll get down to a point. Revelation chapter 1, 1960, 1204, paragraph 304. Now, how is he coming? With clouds. Now, I know the scripture, and I know where the prophet's talking about clouds of glory, you know, Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterian, you know, coming down through the church ages, you know, bride. All right, but listen to what he's saying. What kind of clouds? Clouds of glory. Not one of these thunderheads, rain clouds, but clouds of glory. If you watch what kind of a cloud he was enshrouded in when Peter and them saw him, saw his vision on Mount Transfiguration, a cloud overshadowed him, his raiment shined, he was enshrouded with a cloud, the power of God. Now where is he taking you to? Matthew 17. Right. Now what takes place in Matthew 17? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. Right. Going over, let's just read a couple more and then back up. Page 36, Church Age Book. He is coming. He is coming in clouds, clouds of glory, as when he was seen upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and his garment was shining as the power of God enfolded him, and every eye shall see him. That means this is not the rapture. This is when he comes to take over his rightful place as world ruler. Okay? This is when those who have pierced him with their creeds and denominational doctrines shall mourn, and all the people shall wail in terror because of him who is the Word. Now where is he going to? You'll read the... Go down on page 36 of the Church Age Book, you'll find out where he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Uncertain Sound, 1960, 1218. Who was he redoing here? He was revealing himself in another fashion. What was he in? A glorified, transfigured condition. His coming, the way he's coming. A glorified Christ, transformed, his raiment shined like the sun. Oh my. He stood in the cloud, and he's coming in the clouds of glory, overshadowed by a cloud, not a little white thunderhead up yonder, but the cloud that he comes in is a cloud of glory, all those angels with him, and etc. Now, I got it somewhere in here, but I'll be glad to give it to you. The prophet said that Matthew 17, that we read to talk about adoption. He said, now you scholars, it's on here, ye him. He said, you scholars know, said, I know about this scripture, that that's speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, you see Moses and Elijah. Now, the second coming. I'm trying to show you in simple language your unbelief that you're sitting with today. Do you understand that? The purpose of all I'm talking about is to show you your unbelief. Your unbelief is sin. So if you don't understand what this is talking about, you're in sin. Which is unbelief. Is that clear? I mean, do I need to say it any harder? I'm trying to show you what unbelief is. Now, unbelief can be because we don't understand is the reason we're in unbelief. But in the court of law, ignorance is no excuse. You know, you be standing out here on the highway and there's a bunch of people out here drag racing and you're standing out on, you walk out, you stay in your house, everything's okay. But you walk out on the front porch and you gaze them or you get outside the road and you watch them drag race, you know what you're guilty of? They'll arrest you for drag racing just like the rest of them because you're a witness. See, you go down and say, well, I didn't know that. And they'll say, well, now listen, ignorance is no excuse. Well, now, if ignorance is no excuse in a court of law, in the natural, ignorance is no excuse in this day when the message has been brought. Do you understand? Well, I just had never read it. How come you hadn't read it? Well, Brother Dale, I'm just not like you. I just didn't study it. How come you hadn't read it? Why haven't you read it? Have you ever read anything else? Well, it took the time. You could have been reading what I just got through reading to you. And if you had read what there, you would understand the message. He's coming in clouds of glory. And every eye will see him. All right? That's white throne judgment and things. That's in the tribulation after we're gone. That's when the two witnesses come, Moses and Elijah, in the tribulation, to bring the message. All right? There's where he's in shroud with a cloud of glory. Brother Brown said, I'm going to take this, when he's speaking on adoption, hear ye him. I'm going to take this and preach it as adoption. Why? Because now he's bringing our part in. You understand what I'm saying? This is actually, Matthew 17 is actually the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is in the tribulation to Israel. Because Moses and Elijah, it goes all the way to the white throne. That's when every eye shall see him. And around the world today, there's no way to say anything that ever I would see him. So you say, well, this fellow over in Africa is blind. He didn't see him. See, now you're making your excuses. Now you're proving you're in unbelief. You're sitting there right now making some excuse for something to be that you haven't done. You're in unbelief. But I haven't read this. You're in unbelief. You got the books. You got the tapes. But are you familiar with even the wording of the message? I know it's my job, it's a preacher's job, to preach and for God to reveal it. I know that. That's what I try to do. But I keep preaching to you, and you're sitting there saying, I don't have no unbelief. I believe the message. But do you unbelieve? Do you understand? What about it? Well, now, that's why I don't like you, Brother Dale, because you're just always making me feel bad. Well, I'm doing my job. What am I supposed to do? I've preached two sermons about the book of Revelation being talking about you. Did that make you feel good? That God would wait and the life book that he would put in the Bible would be to the basis to speaking about his bride? And I doubt if I'll ever get over there far enough to do it. But what was it that Jesus didn't understand? He didn't understand when he was coming, but he didn't understand his part in the kingdom. The quotes are there for you to read them. What didn't he understand? He understood he come to die for you and I. He understood that we and preached that we would be his children. Come on. What did he not understand? He didn't understand that you and I would be the ending of all things. He didn't understand the prophet said his part in the kingdom. He didn't understand that this thing's going to finish up, Brother Gary, with you and me. But when he comes to Patmos, he understands that. And he brings that message to John to show who we are. But yet we said in unbelief because we haven't studied the message. Ignorance is no excuse. I just don't have time, Brother Dale. What's the matter? What are you putting before you, before God? I'm talking about myself now, as well as you. What are we putting before God to keep us from having time to pray and read our Bible and listen to tapes and fellowship around the Word of God? You see? Unbelief. Unbelief. If we don't have a true revelation of one true and living God, we're still in unbelief. Alright? Now there's degrees of that, so don't go and run your brain off with me. Everybody's not on the same level, and everybody doesn't understand the same. We're not talking about something like that. I'm talking about the fact that to not believe in one true and living God the correct way, we're in unbelief. You see why I holler so much about it? You see why that's been my thought for 30 years, is to try to preach on one true and living God. And to prove the revelation is correct, it comes out to see that the bride is part of the mystery. That's this afternoon. The bride being part of the mystery. But are you seeing what I'm talking about? Or did I hurt your feelings there a minute ago when I said you're a bunch of unbelievers? Well, I don't like to be called an unbeliever when I'm not an unbeliever. Well, do you know what I'm talking about? How is he coming in clouds of glory? And how's ever I going to see him? And how's the same one that's coming in clouds of glory shed his blood to loose me and you from sin that we could see that? Release us from unbelief that we could see the message of the hour. Have you ever thanked God for him revealing the message to you? Have you ever thanked God for him sending the message to you? I thank him every day. Every day I thank him. I say, God, thank you for sending me the message. Because that message is what's setting me free. You remember Johnny Crow? That's what the prophet was right above where we were talking about that a minute ago. You remember Johnny Crow, the one that was tied, you know, and the prophet told a story about a crow that was tied. His buddies flew over and hollered, come on, Johnny, let's go. And he said, no, I'm tired, I can't. Well, the old farmer got sorry for him, or a neighbor, somebody got sorry for the old crow, went out and cut him loose. Well, they flew back over. Come on, Johnny, let's go. Yeah, but I'm still tied. He was tied by his own unbelief. Have you ever took cattle or horses or anything? I remember one down on the expressway one time, just telling you. Well, you put up a fence right here, an electric fence. And they'll eat right up there to that thing, won't they? But when they get so close, they'll back off. Alright? You leave that there long enough till it gets embedded in their mind, and then you go take the fence down. It'll take them a long time before they'll step one foot over anymore. You can take these electrical things like the dogs in the yard, you know, where you put the wire all the way around. You give him one good shock with that. Really a good one. Was up at Stephen Wilson, told you about it, and he had one there for a big old dog that he had, and he was throwing this frisbee, and a dog would run and grab it. He said, watch this. He said, now that fence is not even on. He said, I don't have it on at all. He said, it's not running. He said, because it's tore up. But said, the dog don't know it. And he took that frisbee, and he threw it outside of that rim that dog was supposed to go. That dog run to that one spot and stopped. Turn and walk back to the house. See, that's the way we are. We're afraid to step out of our little cubicle. You know what they say now? Think out of the box. I never did understand that anyway, but I just hear it a lot. But you live in a little cubicle of what your comfort zone, of what you have an understanding of. And you're afraid to step out any further. Well, see, you can't be loose from your sin. See, you're saying, I don't want to move out because I might become a sinner. People are afraid to go listen to somebody else preach. I might get caught in their unbelief. You're not going to get caught with it if you don't want it. What's the matter? You can't trust the Holy Ghost in you. Maybe you don't listen to Him is one problem. You just listen because somebody is up emotional and sweat running all over them and all like that, and then you holler and say, boy, they must be anointed. And then somebody like me just talking to you, especially wrecking you over the coals about unbelief, and then you dry up. Why? Because I'm trying to deliver your soul. But trying to get you to see what unbelief really is. He has loosed us from our unbelief that we might be able to receive the message. What do you mean? I've got the message. I read the message. That's true. Wonderful. But what about the revelation? But see, He comes in clouds of glory, like on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Mount of Transfiguration is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, I'm going to take this to speak on in another way. But he said, this is what even the scholars know there of Matthew 17, that this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there can't be a second coming of Jesus Christ through the two witnesses unless there's a spiritual coming of the bride of Christ. The prophet said adoption, or a Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't use the word adoption, a Mount of Transfiguration experience glorifies Jesus Christ. Huh? Clouds of glory, there's our part. Sure, there's what you and I. He's coming back after a bride that's become the Word. And becoming by us becoming the Word, it puts around Him the honor and the glory that He is due to receive. But what we do with the Word puts clouds of glory around His head. Then surely He'll make us glory. Fine. But if you don't see who He is and see that there's not a Trinitarianism, and then when you get onto these River Jordans and all of this, you know, saying Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan, quoting stuff like that. I know they're quoting Brother Branham, but they're not quote, don't quote the rest of it, where He was born Lord to Christ. They won't say that. Well, see, then that means there's unbelief there. Bring me any quote Brother Branham said about the River Jordan, and I'll be glad to stand right here and read it to this congregation. But get me an opportunity to come to your church and say a few things. No, you won't do it. Because you know it's going to expose your unbelief. Huh? I make that challenge, but where's it at? Why won't people come and say it? Why don't they give you an opportunity to say a few words about it? You say River Jordan, you just harp on that. But if you can't get to River Jordan right, there ain't going to be no Mount of Transfiguration. That's what unbelief is, folks. Unbelief is the fact that we do not see the message the way it's supposed to be seen. Are you listening? It's not just reading. This is not a Jehovah's Witness reading room situation. They just keep reading and reading. When a Jehovah's Witness comes out to you, he's so trained until he's ready to say something. What do you do, Brother Gary? You got to say something to throw him off. Standing talking to one day, and he was talking about Jehovah's Witness. You know, I said, sir, I said, I'm a better Jehovah's Witness than you are. Because I knew how to stop him. You're a Jehovah Witness? I said, yes, sir. I'm a Jehovah Witness. Because you'll notice they say Jehovah's Witnesses. That's the way they say it. I said, I'm a witness of the one fact. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. The old man was ready to get in the car and the young man was excited. He wanted to know more about it. But you see, when you're trained, your reading room, and that's what the people do in this message. They read and they read and they read, but they don't listen to what's being said. They don't take what the prophet is saying and see that they're in unbelief. They're reading only what they want to read. And when you do, you're in your sin. You're not loosed yet. See, I want to be loose from my unbelief. That's why I go and travel when people say, Brother Dale, why do you even go and listen to some of this stuff? Because I want to be loosed from my unbelief. Because something's got me bound. And see, it might not be that I'd go to listen to somebody to get something that would help, but there's one thing about it. When I go, I listen to see what they got. And by doing that, maybe it shows me what I have got anyway is right. Doesn't bother me to hear a man preach error. I'll get something out of his sermon. But if I don't get nothing out of his sermon, I'll get one thing for sure. I'll go away and say, thank God I'm not that blind. I'll at least thank God for that. I say, I'm not that blind because you've opened mine eyes. But has he opened our eyes today, church? That's the title of the message. Are we loose from our sins? Are we loose from our unbelief? Can we see what's going on? The unbelief in what, Brother Dale? Unbelief of the message. Oh, I believe every word of it. But listen. Can you take the last quote and read it? Number 9. Can you read that and listen? Because this is the foundation for this evening's message. Can you do it? Patmos Vision, 1960, 1204 in the evening, paragraph 143. And the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now we hear it. Now what? And what was he done? He was transferred from the aisle now in the Spirit over into the Lord's Day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's Day, he heard a trumpet. What is it? It's somebody approaching. A great one's approaching. Trumpet sound. Somebody's coming. He looked. Hallelujah. Trumpet. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Him. Not announcement of the second party or third party, but the only party. I'm both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. Amen. Listen. The greatest of all the revelations is the deity. The supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't get to first base until you believe that. You can't get to first base until you believe. That's what Peter said, repent and then see the deity, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and then you're ready to go on in the Spirit. Unbelief. Loose from our sins. I say this without backing up and talking about myself as well as you. The biggest bunch of sinners there are in the world are the people that try to follow this message. I'm talking about unbelievers. Because you can't talk to them about the Bible. They know nothing about the Bible. They only know what the prophet says. Or the other groups know nothing about what the prophet said and only what the Bible says. But what about the sin of unbelief? Do you have any today? Do you have a true revelation of one true and living God? Because now listen, this is my point. We'll take it up this evening on it. The way you know whether you got a revelation or not. Now what's the purpose of getting the revelation? Everybody understand it? What's the purpose of getting a revelation? To set you free from your unbelief. You understand? To set you free from your unbelief. All right. Now, that's not going to be found reading Greer's Almanac. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to be found reading the newspaper. You just find out what's going on around you. The newspaper ain't going to give you no revelation of one God. Well, I read in the newspaper where this fella said this, and I got the revelation. It must have been because you had already read the Bible. Right? You didn't get the revelation from the newspaper because they didn't have it. It's what you already had in you that just quickened something to you. What do you understand? Loose from our unbelief that we might be able to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we can't see the revelation of Jesus Christ, then we can't see who we are. Well, what was you talking about the clouds of glory for? Not to just show you how smart I am and how much unbelief you're in, because you've never read it enough to know what the prophet has said a lot of times. But to know for surety one thing. If this church can come to adoption, you're going to see a glorified Jesus Christ upon this earth. But you're only going to see that through the opening of the Word. Through the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to take away our sin and bring it down to the position. And when it does, it'll bring us to adoption, which is what will glorify Him and puts the clouds of glory around Him. Where did we get on over there one of these days to Revelations 5 and 4 and how He was dethroned and off? That's in your understanding. That's not because He was taken off of a throne. That's your understanding. That's why people can't understand the types and the shadows, because they're looking for some kind of a great big understanding instead of looking at their own selves to see what they got. To see who we are. Because listen, the only way I know for surety that there is just one true and living God, you know how that is? Because I see that He didn't stop 2,000 years ago. He didn't stop revealing Himself 2,000 years ago. He didn't stop with the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jude, Peter, James. He didn't stop there. Because He knew that that would not be the finish of the revelation. So what did He do? He took John to Patmos and showed him the future. What was the future? His future position in the church. That was what He's revealing. That's how we're going to put the clouds of glory around Him in His second coming, in the bride coming of Christ. Coming out of the church, the prophet said. Now that's what he called the second coming of Jesus Christ, the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. Well, I got out of the church. I never did belong to any of them denominations. I ain't got one thing to do with it. It's coming out of ourselves to coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ. The clouds of glory will enshroud around Him in your experience, because that's His second coming to you. He come first to redeem His bride. He's coming a second time to get His bride. Through adoption. Through the clouds of glory. in you. I've never tried to preach anything about what I could see of some great revelation and make Brother Dale some kind of something. If that's what you ever think about it, you're blind. I've always tried to preach about you, about the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, you go check any sermon and see if that's not right. See if any sermon that you ever listened to of anything I've preached or down in the basement, ever won it since we started the church, since 82 anyway. And I've got some before then. And see if I was ever talking about myself or any thought. I was always talking about you. Trying to get you to see who you are. Because it's not going to take away your unbelief because I know who I am. It's when you know who you are is when it'll take away your unbelief. So the reason I know that the truth is the truth about it is because I don't stop like a oneness. A oneness group said the life's manifestation is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the reason it's oneness. That Jesus Christ is the life's manifestation of God. No, sir. The bride of Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God upon the earth today. All right. And being the bride of Jesus Christ, then she is his wife and he's doing his best to reveal her. He shows himself to John on Patmos, right? So he'd know who it is. It's the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. What? About his part in the kingdom, about who he is and what's going on. Where's he at? In you. See, that's what's doing away with our unbelief, is when God reveals to you and to me who we are. Now if I can just see who he is. Wonderful if you can see who he is. But who are you? According to the Bible, Romans 8, that the world has been waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, then why can't we see somebody's got to be that? And to be that means we've gotten rid of unbelief. Now that's the point I want you to see. Now listen for a second. He shows us in the book of Revelation. He doesn't show us. I ain't talking about over there where the denominations come into view. I'm talking about the very start off of the book of Revelation. It's speaking about you. So it shows you've already been loosed. If you just believe it. And accept what the prophet said. You're loose. To believe what the prophet said sets you and I free. Sure, we got to have it revealed unto us. But it sets us free. The message is what sets you and I free. You remember the quote? That he might set us free from our unbelief, that we might see who Jesus Christ is. Then by seeing who he is, we can see who we are. Well, I just can't see it because I just don't see nothing. And, you know, I just don't see you healing the sick and casting out devils and doing this. I don't see you running the aisles. I don't see you all these things. You show me where that's in the Word. Show it to me. Show me where that's in the Word. That you've got to look for signs to believe. You believe, and then signs follows. Right? You believe it first, and then signs follows it. Don't worry about it. You'll see the signs. Like Brother Gary said one time, said we could write a book about a lot of things that happened around here. But see, a lot of times it's very easy to forget what's happened. But I tell you one thing we need right now more than anything in the world, folks. The whole Southeast, the whole United States of this Southeast side of needs rain. Somebody needs to start calling for it. And speak the word. To bring us rain, because if it don't, your wells are fixing to go dry. They already are. One that used to supply chicken houses over there and everything took a lot of water over where Wade was using off of it. Turned it on the other day in an hour and pumped it dry. Where it used to go for, you know, run for days on end with the chickens drinking water like crazy. You look around at your creeks down, your little branches and things. It's getting serious. You look around at your trees where they're already changing color. It's getting serious. The whole creation is waiting on you and I to come to the place to speak the word. I believe it was Macon where Brother Brown was at when he called for rain, and it started raining while he's down there preaching. But see, I'm not talking about church. We don't need just a thunderhead. We're 15, 16 inches behind rain already. And ought to be caught up by now. But listen, that's just the natural. But that's the purpose of you and I being here. The natural benefits because of us being here. The bride of Jesus Christ. The life's book of the Bible is written about you. God's position in you as His wife. Why can't we see that? Because we can't believe it. Because of our unbelief. Well, I just don't think it's just, we're just not too much. There ain't much going on. Just, the greatest thing that could ever be is the opening of God's Word. Why can't we believe it? Loose from our unbelief. Come on, Brother Boyd. Loose from our sin. So that we can see Him around us. The clouds of glory around us. He's enclosed with the clouds of glory. What are we? The clouds of glory. To be put around Him. Who? The Word. The greatest thing that's in the Bible is the end of all things, the book of Revelation. And that's speaking about you and me. But can we believe it? Writing personally about us to see who we are. Why can't we believe it? Why can't we just accept it and say, well, that's what it is. I believe it. No, we've got to have something to happen. We've got to have something to take place. Brother Dale, don't preach the way I like him. The way he does. That's I'm sorry. But come and show me where I'm off the Word. Show me where I've missed the Word. Then it doesn't matter how I told you. I'll have to give an account for what I tell you in my preaching and my styles. But what about you? What about you? Are you in unbelief today? Has God loosed you where you can believe the message? Why did He forgive you sins? I mean, just the natural. You know, I'm talking about just going back to the new birth. Why did He forgive your sins? Did it just keep you from going to hell? He could have done that with a stroke of His blood without anything. But He loosed us that we might receive the message. This is the only age that the message would be available. And if He doesn't loose us to where we can receive the message, we're no more than anybody else. But the proof, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The proof that I believe in one true and living God is because I can take it right down to where you're at and show you the bride of Jesus Christ is a part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the way I know that I'm right, because I haven't just stopped on a oneness thought. I went into the revelation of seeing who you are. Let's stand together. Number two in the red book. Anybody has a need? through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierced my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must. Anybody have a need? Him look upon His face, there to see river of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever be time. Oh, the prophet said, when you're seeing the Word, you're seeing Jesus. But if we won't study the Word, how can we expect to see Jesus? Puts us back in unbelief. But Brother Dale, I go to church, I'm there, I do everything I can. What about becoming the Word? Man told Brother Moat years ago, he said, you let them people have the books and tapes, they'll know as much about the message as you do. I say it this way, you ought to know more about the letter of the message than I do, because I'm studying for a message. You can read, listen to tapes, do whatever. I'm trying to connect myself to getting a sermon, a message. I like to preach to people that know the message. I like to preach to people that knows what the prophet has said. Because then they have to say, well, he said it like the prophet said it. World below, to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. You see what I'm talking about? Our unbelief. We're not out in the world. The people, I'm not talking about you being out in the world doing things of the world. I'm talking about our unbelief in God's Word. Whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, whole lot more tomorrow. Problem with our doing sisters, unbelief. It's not unbelief in life. But we don't believe. But we do believe. It's when we try to go too far in our unbelief and try to figure things out in ourselves. Instead of just reading and praying and thanking God and studying and having a wonderful time. That's my problem. It's to try to find out what the prophet is saying, maybe for myself, when it's not working. But it's when we let Him come. Pray and study Him. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what the prophet has said, except one thing. When we let that stop us from receiving. one and say, okay, now I got to lay that aside because that's not it. Well, let's just pray. Father, Lord, you heard our sister. Lord Jesus, you know how much she wants to have an understanding of you. And we thank God for that. We thank God for her dedicated life and things to come and be at church and all, Father, traveling so far. But just help us, Father, to realize it's got to be you to make it manifest in our lives. And that way we can't no way figure nothing out. We just walk in you. And we believe you, Father. Bless our sister, Father, and just open her understanding of thy word in Jesus' name. Just go, sister, and study and pray and believe and listen. Anybody else? To thank him, love and praise him a little more today. You're dismissed. Remember, the service this afternoon.